You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Now, if you haven't heard yet, this is me telling you, you need to take a look at the new boots from Lacrosse, and they fall under the Navigator series. Now, what they've done is they've taken the best parts of a rubber boot and the best parts of your traditional hiking and hunting boot, and they've mashed them together to come up with this new line of boots from Lacrosse, and that is the Navigator series. Now, they have the women's Windrose, they have the men's Windrose, and then they have the Atlas series within that as well. So go to lacrossefootwear.com and check out this new line of boots that they have. I've been using mine for a couple weeks now, and I am very impressed with the fit and the feel, and I can't wait to get them in the woods this hunting season and give them a trial run. So lacrossefootwear.com, check them out.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the new series from the Backcountry Rookies called Stories from the Season. I'm your host, Chad Riker, and this is our new series of shows that we put together to highlight some of the stories from our friends and previous guests that we've had on the show. We always ask at the end of every podcast what plans people have for the year, and we never follow up with those people. So this series is intended to be that follow-up. The goal here is a no-fluff, just-the-hunt conversation. We aren't highlighting the training that went into the hunt. We're not highlighting the diets and the nutritions and just all of that extra stuff. We're highlighting the hunt, and we want to hear the story of that hunt. We plan to keep these under 30 minutes, so they're easy to listen to, and they're fun to listen to, and you can pack in a few of them all together if you want to. We're going to do 12 or 13 of these. We're starting them in October. We wanted to roll it out in September, but we figured October was better because then we would have all those good archery hunts to start talking about and start recording. We're going to run it October through all the way through the December, so all the way through the first of the year. Also, last thing, make sure you leave us a review on this series. If this goes well, we're going to do this again next year. Just a short series of the hunting season, quick 30-minute shows. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. Here we go. Okay, welcome back to the show. So today is going to be sort of similar, and the voices might sound similar, but I've got Dan Saltzman and Will Myers on again. You guys just heard from them not too long ago on Dan's successful elk hunt. Well, we got another story to tell. All right. So there's not only is Dan successful, but so is Will. We're going to hear round two. We'll call it round two for these guys. If you want to know more about them, you can go back and listen to the Dan episode. But take about 30 seconds to a minute, each one of you. Will, we'll let you go first this time. And just a quick refresher on who you are and kind of what's going on with you.
Sure. Yep. Just an average Joe guy. 30. What how old am I now? 31, I believe.
It stops counting after 30. It doesn't matter.
Right. Grew up in a small town, little resort town, mountains and the rivers behind me, and just kind of grew up in the mountains of Idaho and hunted all my life. Just got into archery hunting about 5 years ago now, not taking it seriously to the last 4 years. Avid outdoorsman, love the backcountry, do it with my own boots, no four-wheelers, no campers, no nothing. I love the spike camping in the high alpine. It's my favorite type of country to hunt.
Awesome. Awesome. Dan, what about you?
Well, Will stole my line about being an average Joe, so I'm a superhuman freak athlete.
Yeah.
Ex-pro football player.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a
fighter pilot.
Part-time military guy, born and raised in not in a small town in the mountains in northeast Pennsylvania, the Electric City, known as Scranton. Moved out here when I was 26, started hunting the mountains a couple years after that, and now my wife forces me to elk hunt to feed our four kids. So
terrible. That's just terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we got you guys, like I said, we got you guys on here for round two. So obviously there's another great story coming up. Let's hear about it. So were you guys hunting in the same area? Just kind of break down the hunt. The last one you guys did was great, was Dan's Bulls. So this one's, it's got to be better, right? It's going to be a better story.
The bulls keep getting bigger. You want to know the unit and the name of the drainage and everything?
Yeah.
No, of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
So completely different side of the unit is actually an area that I had been scouting before to find mule deer all of July, and just trying to keep tabs on good bucks to hunt in the early season. First are the archery season, and got in another time frame basically, and it was closer to the late August season, and all of a sudden elk started moving in, and I started seeing elk in the area while I'm watching mule deer, and ended up hearing bulls bugling at August 26th. And every weekend, even opening weekend when we went in there to chase deer, there was still elk in there. We'll have to do a whole nother podcast because we ended up harvesting another bull at opening weekend in the deer spot of mine for another buddy. But so basically it was just a spot that I was trying to find mule deer, and elk kind of happened to be in that same area. And we ended up going back in this past weekend, which is the 14th, the 15th of September. And Dan's and ours intention was actually to hunt mule deer.
Okay.
Yeah, we're the worst deer hunters ever.
Yeah.
You come home with meat, so I guess, whatever. It's just you shot a really big deer. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So the last time we talked a lot about the setup and that kind of stuff, and let's hear about it. So were you scouting for deer and just kicked up some elk, or how did you come into the elk?
Well, so we had, gotten Dan's bull the weekend prior, and I still had a week full where I really wanted dedicated for elk hunting later in the month. And so I told Dan, I was like, hey, you want to go hunt deer in my deer spot, go chase some deer around? He's like, yeah, man, I'm down to do that. So we went back up to the spot where I had actually found some shooter deer, and we were just going to bring deer game bags and leave the bugle tubes at home and not even worry about the elk on this hunt. And I was in there the night before. Dan shows up a little bit later that evening, and I checked out one of the spots up and over the hill and heard a bull bugle, and of course, and he had cows, and it was just his own little basin to himself, just having a field day. And I'm again just watching deer on the hillside, and got back to camp at dark and told Dan that there was an elk. That was an absolute stud of a bull. It's over the hill, but he's way down the canyon. We'll go check it out because I'd seen some deer on the hillside as well. So Dan said, yeah, great, let's go shoot some deer. And got up the next morning, went over the basin, and I told him where the deer were usually feeding and where I'd left them the night before. And then, of course, first thing, elk just pipes off a big old bugle, and Dan looks at me and goes, is that the bull? And I'm like, yeah, that's the bull that was in you last night. We ended up actually splitting apart. We ended up glassing different sections and not really paying attention to the elk at all. And checking for deer, and Dan came to me and he's like, I'm not really seeing much. And I wasn't either. And he's like, how far away is that bull from you? I'm like, he's just right below this cliff line right here. And so Dan, you could tell him the story about pulling out the culls.
Yeah. So if you want to hunt deer and there's elk bugling, you brought the wrong guy if you fight, first of all. So I tried really hard to hunt mule deer, but I'm just in love with elk hunting. So anyway, I happened to have some reeds in my pocket, oddly enough, that were in there because they were still in there from the weekend before and had survived through the washer and dryer. And now I had fresh, clean reeds in my pocket. So I'm like, I pull the cow call out and I pull a reed out and toss it in, and I squeak like a dying rabbit the first time and get it warmed up and softened up a little bit. They're a little tight when you pull them straight out of the dryer. and get a half decent couple cow calls working, and this bull pipes off right under us. We're like, oh, okay, well, that was fun, you know. Well, that's cool. We're still gonna deer hunt. Let's just get away from this bull, because there's probably not gonna be a bunch of deer here if this bull's pushing cows around. So we were being good deer hunters, and we were gonna leave him alone. And we walked up about 200 yards up the ridgeline, and me being the compulsive elk caller that I am, I cow called again, and that same bull answered, and then another bull answered, and then another bull answered that one. I just look at Will with, I'm sure, the crazy look in my eye, and I'm like, dude. And he's like, do you think we should hunt some elk?
Yeah, we're not mule deer hunting anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, we you know, walked probably, I don't know what it was, Dan, maybe like 500 yards kind of over the roll and into another little drainage basin.
Yeah, it couldn't have been, if it was that far, it'd be a shocker. I don't think it was even that far, but we just got over this little lip where I think the sound carried a little more. And then as soon as I called and that bull answered, the other bulls could hear him, because they were still on the move too, heading to wherever they were bedding at. So it just kind of woke up that whole basin.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we sat there and we're like, well, it's kind of like, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at this point. The thermals are coming up in some spots and down in others, and the wind's doing six different things. So I'm like, well, let's just stay right here and just kind of keep an eye on the situation. Those elk are moving, see where they go. We'll keep glassing for deer and just kind of see how things shake out and where these bulls end up. And if one of them's close, then, you know, maybe we'll take a shot at him, you know, we'll give it a shot if he's close. And, so, and then I cow call again and a coyote answers.
Yeah.
I think was that a fresh read straight out of the dryer too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to switch them back and forth. And I think I actually tried to give a little locator bugle, and it probably sounded like a coyote howl, and it was so pathetic.
No bugle tube?
No,
correct.
No,
neither of us brought a tube because we were deer hunting.
Uh-huh.
So I try to like bugle with my hands cupped around my mouth with a worn out dryer reed, and definitely sounded like a coyote. And so this giant coyote comes over the hill yipping and howling. We're like, oh no. He actually knocked an arrow and thought we were going to get a shot at him. He got close enough where we could hear him panting. Just couldn't see him.
Yeah, I thought the gig was up. The elk kind of went quiet a little bit because the coyote, of course, it wasn't like the chiming that we had heard, you know, 10 minutes ago, but every now and then all of a sudden we'd hear an elk bugle and he'd be, you know, further off in the distance or whatnot. So we thought the gig was up. We heard a plane come fly through it in 9,500 feet too. That didn't help much, but yeah, we sat down and pulled out some snacks and started eating and just kind of want to wait for the thermals to switch around and see if we can glass any deer. And Dan, of course, finally had worked in one good read and gave another cow call. And the, you know, the bull pipes off again, and he now sounds like he came out towards the timber out in front, like through the timber, and was actually facing us and let out a good bugle at us. And we're like, well, he's still responsive. So we just kind of sat there and, you know, not expecting much, but we knew that there was still a bull in the area. And long story straight, after about like 10 minutes, all of a sudden we saw cows walking up the ridgeline to the right of us, kind of out of the blue. And I go, oh, shoot, there they are. And stood up for a second. I just see him kind of pace off. There's only, you know, a cow and some calves that kind of gone up and over the ridge. And they're only 100 yards away from us. And we're like, so we kind of kept our eye at where they had first last bugled across the canyon, and Dan spots this raghorn that comes out in this little avalanche chute, and Dan goes, oh, there he is. So we put up my glass and I look, and I'm like, oh yeah. And Dan goes, oh, it's just like a spindly little 5-point. And
that's
not him. We kind of look at each other, we're like, nah, that can't be him.
You're skipping a part, we got to go back real quick.
Oh, go for it.
So we get over there, we're set up on this bench right above the timber where we think this bull is, and is on the other side of a big avalanche chute. So this patch of timber we're looking at is probably 500 or 600 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, the thermals here are good because we're sitting in the sun. The wind's pulling straight up the hill. You sit out here on the lip and watch that patch of timber, and I'll see if I can pull him out. And we'll at least get a look at him and see if he's worth, you know, investing a bunch of our deer hunt into. Yeah. So I drop back over the ridge where he can't see me and start doing my, you know, the cow party, as Will calls it, where I got two or three different reeds in my mouth, switching back and forth, and long drawn out mews and whines and little calf chirps, and, you know, just sounding like a whole bunch of elk up here milling around and kicking rocks and breaking trees. And you do that for probably 10 minutes and then really start breaking stuff and give a little chuckle, which I can't imagine sounded good with no tube, but I was giving it everything I had. We're trying to figure out if we can roll a piece of bark for me to bugle through, or like, it was like, I got a toilet paper roll you could use. We're trying to MacGyver something, but so I just do the same thing and just slowly escalate it up, working some chuckles, raking, you know, then really start going to town in a tree and do that for about 15 minutes. And then we were like, all right, well, let's just go and sit over here. If that bull doesn't have enough cows and wants more, maybe he'll get curious and come over here and take a look. So that was when snack time started.
Yeah. So he maybe bugled once in between that whole time frame. Dan was doing all the work, so he didn't seem too enthusiastic about it. So that's kind of our decision why we stopped and had snacks and just kept an eye on the area.
Will lost faith. I knew it was going to work the whole time.
Yeah, right.
So it did end up working. How did it all come together?
So yeah, we're mid snacking and Dan gets eyes on him coming out of the timber in the avalanche chute, and sees a cow funnel out and then sees a 5-point get kind of pushed out. And then a couple more cows roll out of the timber and Dan goes, "Oh my God, there he is." Something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't think the actual quote we can say on this podcast, but
yeah.
Oh my God, there he is. That works for me. I know what you mean.
There was a few extra expletives thrown in there.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
So I put up my binos and take a look at him and I go, "Oh my gosh, Dan." And he already knew. It was like kid in, you know, Christmas morning. Dan goes, "Do you want to kill that bull?" It's like, well, we gotta pull him up here.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming. Here he comes.
Yeah. So these cows like are across the drainage at 800 yards away, and all of a sudden they're kind of in single file, and they're kind of actually working their way through the broken timber, actually up towards and around the basin towards us. And so Dan and I both knew, we're like, these elk are coming. He's pushing his cows up this way. I just immediately dropped my snacks and food and picked up my bow and took off.
Wait, you left the snacks behind?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he left the snacks behind, and then I ate them all.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Okay. At least they didn't get wasted. That's what matters.
Right. Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, so, I ran up the canyon, and I was about to dive in, and I noticed the thermals were actually still blowing down a little bit and where the shade was kind of still coming in. So I actually stayed high on the ridge line. Thermals were blowing up, and I basically kind of maxed out to a point where it was the highest basin section possible. And I'm like, well, if these elk come through here, I'm going to assume they're probably going to come through this area right here.
The same path as those cows 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Exactly. And so those cows, when we busted, they were kind of right around this area too. So I found some broken timber that gave me a good view of the meadowy little section here that I thought they might come through. And I looked behind me and double checked that there was some broken timber behind me to, cover me up as far as an outline goes. And right before I can even think about it, all of a sudden I hear clicking of hoofs. And I grabbed out my rangefinder real quick, snapped some ranges and some different bushes, some meadow logs, trees, bushes, just some quick glances at knowing what it was. I looked down at my pen. I use a single pen, so I had already had it at 30 yards, and it was already too late. These cows already just come out in the opening and start working their way quartering to me from 50 yards out and right to the meadow, exactly how I was hoping it would play out. Just come working through, and I hear some glunking going in the timber, and I hear some branches breaking, and it's just this, you know, sound of a mature bull just breathing. and I knew he was coming out pretty soon, and I could hear all of a sudden, Dan, I think I blacked out because he lets out this, like screaming bugle, that, Dan actually happens to have on record on video, and I just heard his glunking. That's the only thing I can really pick out, and I knew that he was about to pop out of the trees any second, so I just drew my bow immediately. These cows that first were right in front of me, now at like 15 yards, sees me draw my bow, and they stop and stare at me for 3 seconds, and then they knew something was not right, and they take off up and around me. Luckily, the new group of elk that were coming through the timber didn't see those cows get spooked, so they just came out naturally just through that little opening meadow and just kept on trucking like normal. And I was already at 30 yards, and sure enough, I see the bull pop out right behind this cow, and he's right behind her. And yeah, I just waited for him to turn broadside. He just kept coming. And at 30 yards, one of the markers that I had actually ranged, I knew he was right at 30 yards. And he was kind of quartering too. And I just waited for him to take a few more steps to get perfectly broadside to me. And it still was damn near, perfect broadside, and let an arrow rip and hit him a little back, but the arrow looked perfect. And he turns around, spins around. I don't see an exit wound. He takes off mid mountain and dives into the timber, and all the elks, you know, scatter out of there. And I waited for about a minute to hear if I could hear a crash or a bull to tip over, and didn't. And probably after a minute, which felt like 10 years, I finally walked back to Dan. Dan's halfway up the mountain looking at me, and I got my head down, and I'm just like in shock. And Dan thinks, I mean, what do you think, Dan, when I was coming back to you?
Yeah, so my perspective was a little different. When Will threw his snacks on the ground, which no man should ever do, and took off, I sat there for probably another 30 seconds just because I wanted to make sure that these elk were going to come up and around the same way and just kind of see what they're – get a bit more of a read on what their, like, trajectory was. And so as soon as I realized, okay, they're going to come through the same spot as those other cows did, I run up the hill and get set up right in the – at the same opening that Will is, but I have no idea Will's there. So I don't know where Will is, but all of a sudden I've got these elk filing out, and I see everything that he just described. The first group of cows spook, then the next group come out, then the bull come out. I'm 60 yards from the bull, so I'm 30 yards right behind Will, but I have no idea he's there, and he doesn't know where I am. I'm filming the bull, and as soon as he steps out in that clearing, I just hear, yeah, whack, and the bull whip around and take off running. But I can't, when he turns around, I can't see an exit wound. I heard a hit, but I mean, I don't know if it was a bull or a tree or what. So when Will comes down just staring at his boots, I'm like, dude, what happened? I think his response was, I just killed the freaking giant.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool, because I just recorded the whole thing. So we got it. We're good.
Great story, but where's the snacks at right now? What happened to those?
Yeah, right. So where's the snacks?
Yeah, we went back. So Will tells me, I think I hit him a little back. So I'm like, oh, man. Like, back, I'm thinking like liver, guts. I'm like, I don't know what a little back is. So I pull the camera out, show him the film. Like, show me where on this diagram you hit the bull. And he's like, oh, there's like a little back. And he takes a pine needle and he points like 4 inches behind its front shoulder. I'm like, dude, yeah, I think you're good.
Yeah.
That's
good. That's good. So how far down the side of the mountain did he get before you guys found him?
He didn't even go down. He ran around the corner and died 75 yards away.
Nice.
Very nice. Yeah, he just fell in some soft stuff, so we didn't hear any of it.
Yeah, we still waited. We still waited, what, an hour and no, hour,
2 hours.
And a half?
2 hours.
2 hours.
I really try hard to impose it. If I don't hear or see the bull go down, to wait 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes sense.
So you got it all on video, you said, Dan?
Yeah, so we got the bull calling, and we can't see him, and then we got him coming in, and then he steps behind a tree right when Willie shoots, of course. But I got him coming in. You can hear the shot, hear the impact on him.
That's cool.
Running out with an arrow stuck in him. So
very, very cool.
Yeah, that'll be online at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Well, hey guys, congratulations again. That's two times that we're talking.
Yep.
I think it's hilarious because when you said you were going out to hunt mule deer and then you said that you heard an elk bugle, I knew there was no way this story was going to end up that Dan was going to chase mule deer over elk.
So, right.
Yeah.
He tried. He really tried.
I know. Well, we tried opening weekend too, and killed an elk that weekend too. So,
well, maybe you guys need to start mule deer hunting more often with calls in your pockets.
I think that will be the last time I leave the house in September without a bugle tooth.
That's good.
Yeah, it was tough.
Okay, well, I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your story. That's two killer stories from you guys this year. Congratulations. If people want to get a hold of you or talk to you about anything, what's your contact info? We'll let you go first on this one. This was your bull, so.
Sure, yeah, thank you. So Willis Myers is my Instagram handle, personal one. I got another one too, Idaho Archery Hunts, and that one is just ID_archery_hunts. And that's the one of all of my hunting buddies' success and repost and, everything hunting related. You want to follow that one.
Okay. And then, Dan, what's yours again?
My personal is just @DanSalzman. And then I'm on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, the whole deal as Provider Life also, which is my hunting page.
Okay. That's all one word, right? Provider Life.
Yeah, I think so. You'll find it.
Yeah, right. It pops up. So, right on, guys. Well, I appreciate it. And we'll hopefully talk soon about something else you guys run around and kill out there.
We still got deer tags.
Well, now there's no elk to get in the way, so it should just be deer from here on out, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks again, Chad.
All right. Guys, just a reminder before we close this thing out, check us out on social media and check out the website. So we're at Backcountry Rookies on Instagram, Backcountry Rookies on Facebook. We have our own private Facebook group called the Backcountry Rookies Nation, where people are welcome to come in there and share and ask questions, and they get answers. And we've got a huge group of people that's, I want to say there's about 1,700 people in there right now, everybody from experts to rookies. So there's a whole wealth of knowledge in there to ask questions. And website, backcountryrookies.com. Check all that stuff out. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Bye.